Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Hi, you little daydream believer. How you doing? God.
That song has been in my head ever since I watched this episode, and it played like 70 fucking times. It was like, hey, in case you forgot, there was that episode where PC was all jealous because this was like Dawson and Joey's like song at their aunt, their crazy aunt's place. And don't forget, and we're going to play it, and we're going to do the really, really like slowed down version just to nail it into your freaking head.
Is Daydream Believer the song of Dawson's Creek? Well, or Imagine. Is it Imagine? I think it's Imagine.
I mean, wait, like the song for Dawson's Creek?
Besides, I don't want to wait.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably. I mean, we've heard it in a few different episodes now, and it's definitely like the Dawson Joey anthem.
Right. Yeah. And it's apparently Joey's favorite song.
Oh, this is so stupid. I can't like, okay. I don't, it's not like I didn't like this episode, 'cause I do think it has a lot of good moments, but I guess my biggest problem with it is it's just like, okay, so Pacey leaves, and I guess we're probably what, a few weeks after that or something. And it's like all of a sudden he's furthest from everyone's mind. It's like he never existed.
Yeah, apparent. But Joey thinks about him every 10 seconds.
Yeah, except like it's just it's so much. It's this episode really was like an ode to the Dawson shippers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like, oh, yeah. don't wait, Dawson shippers. We didn't forget about you.
No.
We understand we have our Jossie fans, but we also have the Dawsons, and so we need to just like make them feel good and give them. And this almost felt like. We were talking to our friend and our guest once upon a time, Adam, and he had said like last episode he thought would have been a really good like series finale for the show.
Yeah.
And it's kind of strange because we were like, well, last episode felt like a finale. And then we get to this episode, and this almost to me felt like a series finale as well.
It did. It felt that I was thinking the exact same thing. If it wasn't for the very last scene, mm-hmm. I would have thought that it could have been a series finale. Like they were expecting not to continue this show after onto college. Like it did feel like that. I totally agree with you because there was a lot of like nostalgia in this episode.
Yes. And it really felt like callbacky.
Yes. And I think it ultimately is a finale in the sense of next season, we're not going to be at the creek. We're not going to see this like big centralized location where we've lived in for all this time. So it's almost an ode to the creek. But yeah, it definitely felt like it. Also, there was like a lot of like, it was like a first date where we were learning. You asked like the most benign questions, like, what's your favorite color?
What's your favorite movie? It's just like, why are we doing this? We're four seasons into the show.
That, like, would you rathers, like, we watched, you know, their feet, like, E.T. again. Yeah. I do love, in the very first scene, the discussion about Dawson's previous movies, because yes. Finally Dawson is like, you know what? I'm a shit filmmaker. Like, I'm really, really bad. Like, yeah. Why didn't anybody tell me this?
Yeah, I loved it too. I think it's funny because it's like, it really did feel like back to basics Dawson's Creek, where
it felt
we have
like a season one episode.
It did because, I mean, I guess to start things off, we're in Dawson's bedroom, which again, very season one, where we start the episode in Dawson's bedroom. We're also like zooming in from the outside, right? It's night. We're zooming in on Dawson, like the outside of the house and the creek itself, which also felt very season one. The only difference is there's no ladder, right? Like the ladder has been removed.
Yes. And
the iconic ladder that Yui used to get into Jen's bedroom.
Yui did not return it.
No.
So rude. But also, you're so right, because the very last shot of the episode is the same shot, yes, that we saw in season one of, yep, seeing the two people kiss in,
like,
the bedroom.
Shadows of them.
The, yeah, shadows. And what was it? It was like Jen and Dawson last time, because wasn't it?
This was the same shot that they used when Dawson and Joey first kissed too.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. That's, yeah, what it was.
It's not the premiere. It's not like the series premiere like shot, because they didn't kiss for like a while. But right, yeah, it very much felt like that. It really felt like a fan servicey type of episode, which, yeah, usually happens towards the end of like a series run. And so, yeah, it's really strange. And we start off in Dawson's bedroom. Joey and Dawson are, and this kills me every time, they're like sitting on his bed watching a movie with their shoes on. And I'm like, can you please like take your shoes off when you're sitting on someone's bed? It's so rude to me. I can't.
Yeah. I always lived in a house where we weren't forced to take our shoes off in the house. And growing up, that's just like how it was. But now that I own my own home, or at least I rent my own home, I am definitely a shoes off when you enter the door person. And yeah, I get so annoyed when Drew leaves his like stupid, remember his shoes are like custom, like,
yeah, the fancy special
goes,
order one.
So like, yeah, yeah, Drew goes on like Vans.com and like makes his own shoes, and like each time he does it, they get progressively uglier, but that's like a different story for a different time.
They're like not all primary colors.
He's not the best shoe designer, but it's okay. He like always is like ketchup and mustard shoes. It's like really infuriating, and I try to like gear him towards something more neutral.
Like, what about gray though?
Yeah, I'm like, what about gray?
And he's like, what about lime green instead?
Exactly. It's sad but true. But like, once you get access to, no, it's not Vans, what was it,
isn't Ken? It Converse. No.
Converse, that's what it was.
Yeah, I was gonna once say, I thought they were Converse.
Yeah, they're Converse. Once you get access to Converse custom, like, you really rage. Like, rose gold, like, lace caps. Like, he really goes full out. But, yeah, he, like, leaves them on, like, the carpet. I, like, get irate. But, yeah, shoes in the bed, no, disgusting.
It's not okay. Just take them off. And so they're chilling, yeah, and they're watching The Sea Creature from the Deep, which is, like, the very first movie that they made. Yes. And like you said, Dawson is just like, this sucks.
He's like, why did nobody tell you? And then you and I are like, we did.
We did try to tell you. And freaking Joey, this is the shit. This is the problem with the two of them. Is there, like, Joey will not tell him the truth. She's just like, actually, it won a prize at the junior division of the Boston Film Festival, and you got $2,500. So, like,
five whopping $100.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was it $5,000 and he gave her half for like helping, or was it $2,500?
No, it was $2,500,
and he gave her $1,000 change, and that's why his second movie blew too. Why,
yeah. So then,
Joey money that time just because she helped. She wanted to take the art classes.
Wasn't this the second movie that he gave her money for, though? Wasn't it the one that she helped produce? Like, she helped produce the one that was about her. Maybe it was that one. I don't really remember.
No, that's how he got the money. He won money for the first film and then gave her half.
And then
used that money to make the second movie about her. And I think that she used that money for art classes.
That makes sense.
Why is Dawson always throwing money at Joey? Is this like a perpetual issue?
I think he just feels bad that she doesn't have any money and she's always working so hard.
Like, I don't have money either, Dawson. Like, throw money at me.
And I just love how he refers to the Joey movie as a self-indulgent piece of crap, which we've been new, Dawson.
You're not the best filmmaker. Yeah. Maybe it's the fact that, like, maybe Dawson could be a great director, but maybe he's just not a good writer.
That could be it. That certainly could be it. I mean, he just doesn't necessarily have that, like, blockbuster vision, you know?
Yeah, maybe if he got, like, a really good script, he can make something out of it.
Yeah, I could see that. This is, like, so self-referential and, like, meta, where he's like, how did we get here? Feels like we were just watching E.T. wondering what 10th grade is going to be like, and now we're leaving for college. And it's just like, okay, Dawson, we all remember episode one of season one. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I really would be interested in watching the first episode again after this episode, because it is so much like the first season and the pilot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is very self-referential.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were thinking that it had a potential to get canceled after this.
I know. I need to look that up at some point while we're recording to see if that's the case. Cause I don't know. Like, I don't know. Let's see. Was Dawson's Creek almost canceled after season four? Cause I don't know. I'm not seeing.
Cause if you think about it, you can think like, hey, if it ended here and it ended with Dawson and Joey kissing, then.
Oh, the Dawson fans would be so happy.
And then, like, ultimately you're like, okay, so at the end of it, it's Dawson and Joey. Like, they are the ones that were meant to be together.
Yeah. I could see that being the case. Like that, them thinking that. And so we find out Dawson is leaving the day after tomorrow because he's going to do a summer program for college. And Joey's just like, this is so great, like, but you need to pack. He's like, I'm in denial. I can't be packing right now. And as they're watching the creature from the deep lagoon or whatever the hell the name is, they see Pacey on screen, and Dawson asks if she's heard from him. And she's just like, nope, have not heard from him at all. It's just like, she says, never get involved with a monster from beneath the sea, no matter how charming. It's just not gonna work. So that's interesting. Like, Pacey's been away for a few weeks. I don't know. He's like on a cruise, or he's on a, what is it called? He's on a boat. Like, I wouldn't have expected to hear from him, you know?
Right. This is an age where cell phones aren't readily available. Even if you do have a cell phone, you're in the middle of the ocean, right?
Right.
So it's not like you have service out there. So, right. Yeah, I don't think that I would have expected to hear from Pacey. But I guess when they get onto land, I suppose Pacey could give somebody a ring, but they're not together right now. So why would he... And he's spending the summer trying to, like, get over Joey.
Exactly.
So why would he go and give her a call?
But also, I think she kind of feels like, well, they left on really good terms. So, like, why wouldn't he?
And also, he left without saying goodbye to a soul.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Dawson says, I've been having a really good time, like, hanging out with you. And they both agree, like, oh, you know, it's going to have to come to an end. But. Eventually it's all going to have to come to an end. They click, they watch like more of the movie. And then we get to the opening credits. And then the next scene, correct me if I'm wrong, cause I could easily be wrong, but where where the four of them are hanging out, where Jack, Jen, Joey, and Dawson are hanging out, is this not the location where, like, PC had sex with Tammy? Like, this is, like, that hidden spot, isn't it, in season one?
I'm not positive if that's what it is, but I assumed that that's what it was, and because of the fountain, and yeah, I thought that that's what it was as well. That's how I read the situation. It might maybe be not the same exact location because maybe they couldn't get like permits there or whatever again, but I think that that's what it's supposed to be. But how are you going to go? And this is the spot where like Dawson took Jen to make out with her.
Yeah, he wanted to have sex with her there.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, so what? We're going to just like bring everybody back to the place where like there's
some history,
germs all over this place, and you're laying on the concrete while
It's weird because it seems like they're talking about this, or they're hanging at this place like it was like a hangout spot for them, but it like literally never was. Like it was the place that people went to bone.
It's like Makeout Cove. Yeah. Like this is exactly where you take people to make. But yeah, exactly. But this is the self-referential episode where we're going to go back to all of our old haunts and like hang out and whatever. So yeah, the four of them are laying in the bright ass sun, no shade,
no sunscreen, probably
no sunscreen, no sunglasses, just getting burned to the crisp.
And they're all wearing long sleeves. This is fucking summer.
It's summer. And we know, okay, so like we know they live in Maine, or not Maine, sorry, Massachusetts.
Yeah,
sure, it's supposed to be cool. It's not so cool in June, July, that but also, if you look at it, they film in North Carolina, right? They are in the fucking North Carolina sun in full like pants and long sleeve shirts in the summer sun. Disgusting. Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah, it's awful. They're talking about getting summer jobs. And of course, Dawson, as always, is like, hey, there's Larry's Fresh Fish. And they're like, yeah, we know. We're aware. Like, yeah, we don't want to go.
Literally got banned from there.
Yeah. And they don't want to go home smelling like fucking stanky fish every night. You know, that's the worst case scenario. So then they're playing a game of would you rather, and so Jack has one. Would you rather work two straight shifts at the Fresh Fish house completely naked, or have sex with Principal Peskin? Like,
have sex? I mean, I'm gonna answer these questions. I would rather have sex with Principal Plankton.
I would too, because I don't want to work naked for 16 hours.
Yeah, at a Fresh Fish.
Yeah.
Assuming it is fresh. They say that it's fresh, but how do we really know?
We don't know. And so then Joey has one: sex with Peskin or spend your entire freshman year living with a roommate who smells really, really bad, like French foreign exchange student bad.
Sex with Plankton.
Plankton? Peskin? Thinking about that Fresh Fish too much. Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think because that's like one and done.
Exactly.
Like your entire semester. Yeah.
Exactly. What I learned this episode is that Joey hates smelly people, because like she talks a lot about smelly people in this episode.
She really hates smelly people. Yeah. Another would you rather with Dawson. He says, I have the best one yet. Sex with Peskin or watch Peskin have sex with Grams.
Watch Peskin and
Definitely.
Grams.
Definitely. I mean, you could like, do you have to keep your eyes open the entire time? You know, I guess you have to.
Maybe you can just like pretend. I mean, I think that you could like close your eyes. I think that
you could squint and make it blurry.
Exactly. Yeah. I would rather
plug your ears.
Or I don't know. Like maybe they have techniques that I don't know. So maybe I would not.
Grams is like, I looked this up in the Kama Sutra. I'm way bendier than I look.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, but the thing with would you rathers is that like you're trying to like outgross each other. So
Yeah. This is pretty gross, you know.
Yeah, they're like, ew.
Yeah. And so Dawson is just like, oh hey, what time is it? Oh, it's 6. I was supposed to meet my dad a half an hour ago. Okay, great. So they all agree. They're going to do movies tonight. This makes no sense. He says, oh, it's almost six. Okay, I was supposed to meet my dad at 5:30. Okay, we're going to be at the movies. Okay, meet at my house at 7. Bitch, that's only an hour from now. Why don't they just go?
I don't know. Because Dawson has to meet and get his computer.
This is Oh my God. Very... Yes, the whole, okay, the computer story. This episode was riddled with amazing technology moments. That are just like, so it's so old. It's so funny. They're at the computer store and they're looking at laptops, and I don't know half the words Mitch is saying, but the 32 gig hard drive cracked me up in such a way that I could not.
32 gig hard drive. That's nothing. Now we're working with like TBs.
Yeah.
TBs,
we're not even like talking
turbobytes or whatever. What's a TB? Is it a turbobyte? Did I just
TB is tuberculosis.
No, TB is like the step up from gigabytes.
No, I know. It's terabytes.
Terabytes. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 32 gigabytes. This is a crap ass computer.
It is. And so he wants to get this whatever like brand of computer this is, but it's obviously a PC. Right. And Dawson is just like, listen, and this is so spot on true. Not much has changed apparently since this episode came out way back when, because Dawson says, in life, you're either a Mac person or a PC person.
Correct.
And that choice defines you.
Correct. Okay.
This is spot on.
Okay. Let's lay it down. Let's lay it down. You are obviously a PC person.
I do not own a single Mac product. That is correct. I have in the past. Don't get me wrong. I've owned an iPod once in my life. I owned an iPhone at one point. I used to have a MacBook, I think, when I was in college. But yes, I am strictly PC at this point in my life.
Yeah. While I only own Apple products.
Yep.
I have, obviously, I've had an iPhone since college. So, yeah, I have an iPhone. I have, like, 5 Macs in my house. I have a personal computer, a work laptop, I have all the Macs. So,
yeah,
it's true. You're either a Mac person or you're an Apple person.
Yeah.
A PC person or a Apple person.
And I love how this episode, it's basically like, if you like PC, you're old and stodgy. And if you like Mac, you're like young and hip and fresh.
Well, I mean, I guess so. I mean, I still kind of think that right now.
I think that Mac is more like sleek looking for sure. Like, I'm not. This is just they've nailed the marketing in terms of the look of the things, right? Especially back in these days, we were looking at the Mac computers that were like colorful and bright and fun. And so I totally get it. I just think it's so funny, like, because they're arguing and Mitch is just like, no, this is the T21 is the best possible one. And Dawson's like, yeah, but I don't want a laptop, which is also hilarious because nowadays it's like, oh my God, you're not going to college without a laptop. Like, that's required.
Yeah, he doesn't want a laptop at all. He doesn't even want like a little MacBook.
No, he's just like, I don't want one. Yeah. And his dad's like, well, you need one.
Yeah.
And he's like, but it's not what I want at all. And he's like, if I was going to get something, I'd get the Mac. So they're like already butting heads this. And it's just going to lead to like more freaking arguments between him and his dad.
To be fair, so I did go to film school for a year and we used Macs when I went.
Okay.
Like, so in 2007, when I graduated and went to university and had like a 2 semesters, whatever, in film school, that's what they edited on. So in terms of like what software and what kind of computer is better for a young filmmaker, I would arguably say that it is a Mac. And if Dawson has any knowledge in what kind of software he's going to need for editing or at school, then maybe he is on track.
I'm with you in terms of like, they probably, for film school specifically, they're probably like, oh, we use X, Y, and Z software. And if he knows what they use, then he could buy, you know, appropriately.
But I'm going to be fair. That's definitely not why he wants a Mac.
Oh yeah. No, it's all about the like, oh dad, you're so out of touch, you know? Yeah. But then we're at Graham's house and the place is just all boxed up. There's nothing even in the fridge. Everything has been boxed up by Graham's.
And Yui. Yui did a really good job.
That's true. Yui did a great job too. And Grams is heading out. She has a potluck for the ladies' auxiliary. Grams is just like, listen, you all just eat a ton of junk food all the time anyway. There's no point in leaving things at last minute in the fridge. The movers are coming the next day, 8 a.m., bright and early.
Yeah. So they're getting out of there. Jack is eating a jar of like Skippy peanut butter in the back. That's all they have. Jack is so hungry. He's just, the spoons are even packed up, so he has to eat it with his finger.
Oh, yuck. And so Jen offers, she's just like, listen, I know you're like being passive aggressive because I have to pack up my room, but like, I will stay home with you tonight. Like, I don't have to go to the movies with Dawson. And she's like, we should do something special. But Grams is just like, absolutely not. Like, go have fun with Dawson. It's his last night here. You should be going out with him. Like, you don't need to be staying in here. There's like, there's nothing even on the walls. There's no point in being sentimental, which to me feels like the exact opposite of how you'd expect Grams to react. Like, you think that she'd be like more like Dawson's dad is.
But also Grams is the woman who literally donated all of her husband's clothes like the day after he died. I don't think that's Grams is like a sentimental person.
No, I guess it's just for her, like the things don't matter. You know what I mean? Like
she's practical.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she's just like, you know what? When you come home, we'll have tea tonight instead, which I thought was like really cute that she's like, you should have fun with your friends. Like, it's Dawson's last day here. I'm not going to like shackle you to the house to spend time with me, especially because they're going to see each other in Boston. So it's more about the house than it is the two of them.
Exactly. Know? Yeah. Everything that needs to be done, everything's packed up. Go have fun with your friends. It's okay. Don't think about me.
Yeah. And so Dawson and his dad get home. And he's like, okay, great. Let's go set up this laptop. But Joey's there because they're going to go to the movies with Jack and Jen. And Mitch is just like, it's your last night at home. I thought we were going to spend it together as a family. He's like, I'd appreciate if you stay for dinner. He's being like very passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I kind of struggle with this because I understand why Mitch is so upset that Dawson doesn't want to spend his last night with his family. Like, Dawson's going across country and it seems as though Mitch is not going with him to like drop off his son and like see him off,
right? You know? I think he's just taking a plane and that's it.
Exactly. So I understand the expectations. I think that I would expect a lot of families to want to spend time with your son before they leave for school, but also I was a kid once too, and it's like, of course Dawson would rather spend his last day with his friends. So I do think that it's like Mitch is acting ridiculous in this episode, and the fact that he's, you know, kind of acting like the child himself.
Yeah.
But I do understand like the pain it must feel to be like, you don't want to spend time with me? Like, you don't want to be with me on our last day?
Yeah. I think for me, it feels like bad planning on everyone's part. Like, cause you had like weeks to do this, right? Like, why not just have, okay, the night before last, we're going to go to the movies and then dinner the last night or vice versa. And you would have been able to please everyone. It just feels like if Mitch really wanted to do this, they could have planned it ahead of time. They could have said, we're going to do this, you know? But yeah, I get it. I get it from both sides. I get Mitch wanting to spend time with his son before he leaves. But surprisingly, Gail is the one who's like super chill about it, you know?
Gail has baby Lily and hasn't given a shit about anything since.
She's like, listen, I don't give a shit. Dawson can go all the way across the country. Who cares? I have a new baby to replace
him. I have a replacement baby who I kind of like better at this moment. So, you know, Dawson, if you want to go, by all means.
Yeah. And I feel like Mitch should really back off when Dawson says, like, I'm really stressed about moving so far away. And now I have to worry about letting you down. Like, I want to go to the movies. Like, I don't want to feel guilty about spending my last night with people who are really important to me. And I feel like at that point, Mitch should have been like, shit, like he's actually like, he's really nervous. Like, this is a big deal. Yeah. I know it's a big deal for Mitch too, but like, this is your son, you know, maybe I think you got to give him the win.
Yeah. Maybe Mitch just needs to come to the movies.
Yeah. Oh God. Yuck. No, that's so, no, that's not okay.
Oh God. Yuck.
Yeah. So Gail's like, okay, go ahead. And then, so then we're with Pacey. Honestly, who the fuck knows where he even is? Like, I don't think they say it.
Bermuda, Bahamas, who knows?
Yeah, but he's in a tropical locale. And I don't know what it is. I don't know when they filmed this, but does that Pacey not look so different to you in this episode?
Pacey, for the first time ever, looks hot.
Ew, no, I felt the exact opposite.
What?
First of all, his hair is too long.
I love his hair. I love his hair in this episode because it doesn't look long and wavy.
Oh, I love the curls. Don't get me wrong. I love the curls. But it's like, it's in that really awkward zone where it's not quite grown out enough to look like it's on purpose. Right now, it just looks like I've missed my last two hair appointments.
No, I loved his hair in this. I thought it looked so good. I thought it was the first time that I liked his hair ever.
And he has this like not quite 5 o'clock shadow also.
That's probably why I think he's hot too. Like I thought that he looked so good and he looks like a little tan.
He does look tan.
He looks so good.
He looks older for sure. But he still has baby face, you know.
I mean, Joshua Jackson still has baby face and he's like 40, whatever. But
and he has this Hawaiian shirt on. Like he is truly like built for this, you know.
I love his hair. I just want to put my hands through it. I think it looks so good.
But he's been working really hard. And so he asks, do you have a phone? I have to make a call. And, so he makes a call, but it just rings. So I don't know. Do we, any guesses on who he was calling? Cause I don't know that we get confirmation either way.
At first I thought that he was calling Joey, but ultimately I do think that he was calling Dawson.
I think so too.
Either they were talking outside, Dawson and his family, or Dawson was off in the movies. Like I'm pretty confident that it was Dawson.
Right. Cause Dawson doesn't have a cell phone at this point. Yeah. So.
But at first watch, I definitely thought it was Joey.
Yeah. And then we're with the gang going to the movies. So Jack and Dawson are kind of chatting together and Joey and Jen are chatting together. And Dawson says he's really nervous, but he's excited, but he's depressed. So he's feeling a lot of feelings about leaving. And Jack, I really don't like what Jack's up to this scene. He feels like a little bit of a shit stirrer here because he's just like, oh, you could stay home and help me paint again. And he's like, nah, do it with Joey. I'm sure she like would love to have a job that she didn't have to. I love how he calls her Cruella de Valentine.
I thought that Jack definitely was trying to stir the pot as well.
Because first he does this where he's like kind of insinuating that Dawson should stay home.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like as soon as Dawson brings up Joey, Jack like latches onto that because he's like, oh, she's going to really miss you. And he's just like, oh, Joey has a lot on her mind. You know, she's going to be going to school at an Ivy League school soon. She has the breakup on her mind. And Jack's like, I feel like Jack, I don't know what it is. It's like he's trying to get into Dawson's head, but Dawson is already like riddled with anxiety and like depression and all this other stuff.
Yeah. The question is this a long con by Jack to upset Pacey?
Why would Jack want to upset Pacey?
Because Pacey hurt his sister.
I feel like they're over that at this point. I don't know. So? Well, we haven't really seen them hang out, but I just got the vibe that Jack is in the throes of a new relationship. Like he has this whole summer to hang out with Toby before college. So he's like in his love bubble right now, I think.
Okay. He's just excited about love. He just wants love to thrive.
I think that's what it is. I think he's like, oh, I'm so happy with Toby now that I need to like get Joey and Dawson to like kiss one more time before Dawson leaves. And so Jack is just like, well, we all know you and Joey saying goodbye is like a colossal event, which I was like, damn, Jack.
he's being the voice of the people. He's like, I know it's going to be a big deal. And I knew it was too. I did because, you know, going into this episode, I was like, yeah, like this is going to be the headline.
Oh, we're going to have to talk at the end of the podcast about how ridiculously spot on half of your predictions were. Like you nearly nailed everything that happened.
Boop, boop.
Nailed it. Well, and so, yeah, so Dawson, I love how Jack is just like, this is like a huge moment. And Dawson, this is like one of my favorite Dawson moments, I think, of all time, where he's like, can you do me a favor? And Jack's like, of course, anything. And Dawson says, don't sit me next to me at the movies. You're bumming me out.
What was the movie order? Okay, so like Dawson was next to Joey. But then he was probably, and then, oh, he was probably sandwiched in between Joey and Jen, and Jen. Then Jen sat next to Jack.
That seems right. Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, Jack's like, of course, like, what, you haven't like thought about it? And Dawson's like, what? And he's like, spending the whole summer here. And then we get this moment for Dawson where I'm like, really, bro? Like, okay, I think the only reason this is upsetting to me, and I'm not judging anyone, I want to make that very clear, that feelings are feelings, and like, however you feel, it's like, okay, even when you feel it at the wrong moments. But like, the fact that as literally Pacey is barely out of the country, and immediately, and Gretchen is like barely back to school or on her road trip or whatever, and immediately we have like Dawson and Joey like thinking about each other. Like, they're barely gone.
But that's the whole point. That's the whole point. That was Pacey and what Gretchen was thinking the entire time. Under the surface, they were thinking about each other. That was the entire issue.
Exactly. Exactly. And so Dawson says, I've thought about it so much, it makes me mad because I don't understand why I can't stop thinking about it. I fell in love with somebody else this year. Do you have any idea how significant that is for me? So why can't I stop thinking about her? And I'm just like, ah, like, this is exactly what Pacey was concerned about. And I understand that Pacey and Joey are now broken up. They are separate entities. They've been broken up for a few weeks now. Joey is her own woman. She is single. She is allowed to do whatever she wants. But of I am course. Like, this is precisely what Pacey was so concerned about.
Exactly. And I think that it should not give Pacey the credit or the validation that yes. what he was feeling had some weight to it is so unfair to Pacey, because they, like, in a way that they totally they like made him think that he was nuts for thinking that what he was saying was like totally out of this realm impossible. Yep. But I mean, it was true. So
yeah, exactly. And so then we bop over to Jen and Joey, who, of course, they're having, like, I feel like Jen and Jack, like, planned this
or something. Oh, yeah, this is totally a Jen and Jack con. Oh, you know, let's try to see, like, what they're thinking about. Yeah. I mean, anything that Jack and Jen do together are probably pre-planned.
Yeah.
They're besties.
Yeah. And so Jen's like, oh, aren't you going to miss him? And Joey's like, well, yeah, but aren't you? She's like, well, I'm already sick of him. Like, he does so many annoying things. Like, I already had last summer to, like, find out how annoying he is. And so, yeah. So they're, like, talking about all of Dawson's annoying quirks. He makes you sit through all the credits at the end of the movie. And this was pre-Marvel times.
That's so annoying. I hate sitting through the credits. And my dad used to do it. And then, yeah, like, I have to do it during all the stupid Marvel movies. It's so boring.
Yeah. And Jen, see, this is, maybe you're right about them having motives, because Jen then says, well, if you asked him to stay, he would. And Joey's just like, wait, what? Like, he's going to bum around Cape Side for another summer? And Jen's like, well, he wouldn't see it as a trade-off. And I don't know how Jen, I think Jen is just so emotionally intelligent that she realizes that Dawson is still, like, thinking of Joey. Mm-hmm. But it's like Jen is, like, in his head. Like, she knows exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. How does she know? I mean, besides the fact that she spends half her time trying to play therapist, but
it's true.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, the two of them, Jack and Jen, were up to some shenanigans in this.
Yeah. Because I love, again, another very fun callback here, which, again, this is why this feels like a series finale versus a season finale, is when Jen says, or Joey says, what makes you think I want him to stay? And Jen says, you really want to know. It's this little voice inside my head that says, I like your hair color. What number is that? Which is a quote from the very first time that Jen and Joey meet, when Joey insists that Jen's hair color is fake. And Joey's like, you still hate me, don't you? She's like, no, I don't hate you. And I just love this. You don't
Joey
remember that?
Said that? Joey is so fucking rude.
Yeah, do you not remember how rude Joey was in the first episode?
How rude she was, but I didn't. That is, like, Why are you asking that question, you little bitch?
Yeah, that's a quote from the first, I think it's the very first episode.
But I was living for it. I remember that. I was like,
you were
a fucking snark.
Yeah. Well, we loved Sassy Joey. Sassy Joey is one of the best.
Was the best. Yeah. Was the best. Like, she was so funny.
Yeah, but I am loving, this is everything we've always wanted, is Joey and Jen having this conversation and having this kind of friendship, you know? Like, they're talking about Dawson, they're, like, kind of poking fun at him. They're finally able to, like, talk about Dawson in a way that doesn't involve, like, arguing.
Wow, I just turned on the first episode for, like, 4 seconds, and they are babies.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I bet Katie Holmes has, like, much more baby face back then.
No, they both do. They both do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely think that this episode and the pilot episode are like sister episodes because it opens up the same exact way.
Yeah. Yep. And Joey's just like, how am I supposed to feel about this? Like, I have the power to change someone's life. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that. And Jen's just like, well, are you going to use it? And so then, of course, the boys come up and Jen's just like, oh, we were talking about hair, makeup, world peace, you know, all the girl stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it kills me that, again, in this scene, the girls are wearing like long sleeves. Like, Joey has her hands in her pockets like she's freezing. It's like, bitch, it's June. Like, what are you doing?
I guess they had to have filmed it in like the dead of winter. And that's maybe the only thing that makes sense to me.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, it's weird because I know for a fact they're in North Carolina, and North Carolina can be really freaking hot sometimes.
I know, but even in like Massachusetts, I mean, they're coastal, so it's a little bit chillier, but like Massachusetts and New York have very similar weather. And so there's 0% chance I'm wearing such heavy clothing in June.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they get tickets for the movie and they go in. And then after the movie, Dawson is just like, oh, who's hungry? And Jen's just like, oh, I have to like go check on Grams. I feel really guilty. Like, you know, I told her I would be home or whatever. And Jack's like, oh, I could eat. And Dawson's like, oh, man, you know what? I really still have to pack. And I'm like, bitch, you shouldn't have left it for the night before you're moving.
Oh, that would stress me out so badly. Yeah. If I didn't pack one thing the day before I was moving across country, oh, I would feel suffocated. I wouldn't even be able to enjoy the movie. I would just be thinking about it the entire time.
Yeah, exactly. Same, same. And so, yeah, so... He's Jen's just like, oh, you guys go ahead. You know, you have a lot to talk about. Jack and I will just walk. And so, yeah. So I guess they all decided just to go home. And so it's so awkward because I feel like they all kind of realize like, oh, we should let Dawson and Joey like have time alone.
Yeah.
But because Jen lives next door to Dawson and because Jack's car is at Jen's house, Joey has to be the first stop.
I would have assumed that Joey would have offered to help pack, though. So I was just that when they came up with the situation, that's what I was thinking was going to happen.
Yeah.
Joey'd be like, oh, I can help you pack. But no, Joey was just like, yeah, I guess I'll go home. So they have to, Jack is driving. They have to drop off Joey first.
Right. Right. And so again, it's a little awkward because they all kind of realize it at this, like Jack and Jen are in on this, right?
Oh, totally. They're simming here. They're like, oh, what do we do? What do we do?
Yeah. Then we're back to the Gitch household. They're just like looking at freaking photos of baby Lily. Like, who gives a fuck about Dawson?
Yeah, baby Lily is not that photogenic. They're like, oh my gosh, she's so gorgeous. And like the fucking baby is just like staring off and looks like an egg.
Whose baby is this? She has such dark hair.
I don't know. But I do think that baby Lily's picture with the blue bow is probably a better picture than the yellow bow, but they're both shitty pictures. And I do like the picture of Dawson holding baby
Lily. I do think that's a good picture.
That's a good picture. But once again, baby Lily is just like not that photogenic, because even that Dawson looks really good in that picture, but baby Lily is like looking
Dawson's
up at
hair
Dawson.
Is looking really good.
Yeah. But look at that picture. Baby Lily is like, who the fuck is this? Because this is not my dad. This is not my mom. Yeah.
And Gail's just like, oh, she loves him so much. And she's really like, who is this?
Look at that baby's face. That baby's face is like, fuck you, Dawson Leary. You are a shitty, shitty person and a bad filmmaker.
Can I say something so mean right now
about
Mitch?
The baby?
No, oh, about the baby. About Mitch. Yeah.
Okay.
Is it just me or is his hairline seriously receding so quickly?
Oh yeah, it's like big difference. If
I don't know if he got a haircut and it just makes it look way like more stark difference now, but I was like, did his hairline recede like 3 inches in like a matter of episodes?
Yeah, he kind of has like a 7 head at this point.
He has the M, you know, the M.
Yeah, he has an M. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, he's getting older.
He is. Older. I seriously thought it just looking at the way he looks in this scene, because it's like out of nowhere. I feel like he had this massive forehead. No offense.
Do you think Mitch still does arm day, or do you think that he took a break from arm day?
I feel like he has to have taken a break from arm day. Like
he's
has
not as
baby.
Like beefy as he used to be.
Yeah. I mean, let's put it this way. Like Gail is still looking like a stunner. And I'm just like, this is so improbable that Gail would look this good when she's taking care of a newborn. But Gail is killing it. Her hair is, I think her hair probably has looked never better, to be honest.
Yeah.
She has like full face makeup.
Yeah. She looks hot. Like Mitch also, is like very lucky.
Let's talk about how Gail is wearing the summeriest outfit of all time. This like floral short dress with like a very light sweater on top. And everyone else is dressed like it's the fucking dead of winter.
So I don't know what to say. The costume department really slacked.
They did.
In this episode. I don't know what season it is.
Yeah.
And Gail doesn't leave the house very often. So at least there's that.
Maybe that's what it is. And they're talking about basically how Mitch and Dawson are identical. They're both very stubborn. And Mitch is just like, what do you think? Do you think in 18 years, Lily will listen to her father before going off to college? No. Maybe she'll want to spend time with her family.
Lily is going to be a fucking slut. Like she's going to be like running the roost.
Yeah.
She's going to be like a mini Gale. She's going to be like 12 boyfriends.
And hanging out with baby Alexander.
She's going to rip baby Alexander's heart out.
Definitely. Easily.
Yeah.
And so Gail says, I think people who are feeling insecure are just picking fights because they're just feeling very insecure about the future. And Mitch is like, I'm not the one whose life's about to change. Mm-hmm. And Gail is just like, denial.
their life is going to change. They just spent 18 years raising a boy, and he's going off to college, and then now they're gonna have to kind of like restart raising a daughter. Totally different life experience, being 18 years older than they were before doing this. So their life is gonna fucking change.
But Mitch doesn't want to admit that. Then we're dropping Joey off at her house, and it's so fucking awkward because Jack and Jen are like sitting in the back seat, and they're like, okay, bye Joey, like see you later.
And then they just like gossip in the back seat.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so Jen says, hey, call me tomorrow, okay? And I'm like, this bitch, she wants the deets, she wants the juice. They're like, oh, they're gonna kiss at the front door and we want to hear the gossip. And it's so awkward because Dawson's like, oh, I guess I'll like walk you up. And it's so awkward. They're standing like 10 feet apart. And Joey's just like, oh, I had a really nice time. It's just like so uncomfortable. And Joey's hands have been in her pockets for like 4 scenes now.
She's doing, okay, Katie Holmes does the Joey or does the Katie Holmes. She's doing it again. Hunched over with her neck to the side. This is her move. Hands in pockets.
Yeah. And they're standing so far apart. So they're like, oh yeah, we saw a movie, you know, oh, it's going to be really weird. Joey says, me in Boston, you in LA. She's talking about like, oh, you're definitely going to have celebrity sightings. You're going to be eating like overpriced organic foods. You're going to end up seeing Spielberg. And I don't know why, again, they're kind of playing a like, what if game where Joey's like, well, what happens if you see Spielberg? And Dawson's like, I don't know. And Joey's like, come on, like this guy shaped your entire world view. Like what are you going to do? And Dawson's like, I guess I'll just say thank you. I feel like Dawson is like wanting a deeper conversation with Joey, and Joey is just trying to make it less awkward.
Yeah. So, like, I think a couple things are happening here. I think that because she kind of says, like, all these things, and I think it's a metaphor for herself. Like,
you, okay,
he changed your life, he changed your worldview, oh, like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what would I say? I would say thank you. And then she says something like, it doesn't seem like enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like enough. So, like, I think that she's once again talking about herself in this scene. So there's that. Also, he says that he's kind of over Shakespeare. No, kind of over Spielberg.
Yeah, he's in a Soderbergh phase. I don't know who the hell that is, but
over him.
And then, like, that's it. She's just like, so I guess I'll see you at Thanksgiving. And he's like, no, actually, they're coming out to LA. And he's just like, oh, well, Christmas then. And he's like, yeah, Christmas. And she says, well, good luck. And he says, you too. See you, Dawson. And then she just turns and goes inside. And I was like, okay, I understand if you're not, like, going to make out in front of Jack and Jen. But to me, it's so weird that they don't even, like, hug.
I wasn't fazed by it because I knew for a fact that they would. Well, they would.
We're halfway together through the episode. We all knew this is not the way they were saying goodbye.
Yeah. No, but like, I knew. I just knew because, like, I thought that we were going to have, like, a moment where Joey goes across the river, which she does, and goes to Dawson. So I wasn't that fazed by it. They're, like, just being awkward. Like, to be honest with you, I don't think that if you're saying goodbye to your best friend, like, I don't think you should be doing it in front of, you know, Jen and Jack anyway.
Yeah. Although, they do hug. But it's like a very, it's like barely a hug. It's like a hug you give your, like, aunt. It's like not a real hug. But I agree. We all knew this was not the end of their goodbye because it wasn't significant enough. And, like, Dawson is, like, standing there for an extra couple of minutes. And I'm just picturing Jack and Jen watching all this.
Oh, yeah. I wish that we could see that scene because I am sure they are being vile little creatures making fun of Jack and making fun of Dawson and Joey.
Definitely. It's so funny because, like, Dawson even, like, turns back and, like, goes and stands on the porch for, like, a second. And I just, like, picture them watching him.
Yeah.
But fantastic. Let's go to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back to recap the rest of the finale. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we are back. And now we're back at, like, the Leary household, where they're dropping, where Jack is about to leave with his car, and we're dropping Jen off. And they give him a present. They give him a cell phone.
That's a big ass gift.
Especially, it was, like, must have been very expensive at the time.
Yeah. But the thing is that only has, like, 5 minutes.
This is so funny. So it's a flip phone that has the little antenna thingy on it that you definitely have to, like, pull up when you use it. And they said, yeah, like, you should have one in LA, but we could only afford 5 minutes of
it. He's not going to be able to talk to anybody with that much time.
It's so funny. It's like buying, I'm trying to think of, like, an equivalent, but yeah, it's buying a cell phone for someone and not giving anybody minutes. It's so funny.
A Starbucks gift card with, like, $4 on it.
Yeah, where you could buy half a drink or something.
Right.
Yeah. So then he's like, he's so thankful. And she's like, Jen's like, oh, get it over with, everybody hug. And so Jack and Dawson hug and say goodbye. And Jack makes a little dig at him, like, oh, stay cool, shouldn't be too difficult. Oh, because I was never really cool to begin with. Ha 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 ha.
The two of them came a long way, to be honest with you. They met and they were hating on each other, and now they're very good friends.
They had, like, painting jobs together. Yeah, I thought their goodbye was cute, and it felt very them, you know. I felt like it didn't make sense to have the, like, very emotional goodbyes with Jack, you know? So it makes sense.
Yeah.
So he leaves. And I love Jen saying, geography is destiny. Here you are, stuck with me at the end of your very last night in Capeside. And again, like, it's very self-referential here.
Yeah.
Where Dawson is talking about how they were so scared of this house because Grams would come out to sweep her porch and they thought she was going to hop on a broomstick and fly away.
I mean, once again, like, when we first meet Grams, she was like the absolute worst. She was like the devil and so judgy. I mean, she's still judgy, but
she's much more likable now, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So it is very funny because they were like, afraid of her. They thought that she was a witch. And I love the fact, like, it's just kid stuff. Like, Joey got dared to go touch the door.
Yes. This is so funny.
And she didn't do it because she was too afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. She was too afraid to do it. And so Jen calls herself, like, the Boo Radley. So they do like a nice big hug. And Jen says, okay, get out of here. Like, don't have a great life. Don't call me ever again. And Dawson says, what, so I can confirm your worst fears about men? And I thought that was, like, so cute. Like, and it feels like a cute dig, not like a, you know, like, yeah, I really know you type of joke.
The last 2 years they've really grown.
Yeah. And Jen's like, oh, wait, we never slept together. And Dawson says, you got 5 minutes? And I'm like, as if you'd last 5 minutes, Dawson. Get out of here with that.
Oh, no. Not even with, like, foreplay? Probably not.
No, I think, I mean, if there was foreplay, I think he wouldn't even make it to the sex part.
Oh, gosh.
Don't you think?
No, you're right. It's good. He's
never had sex.
He's going to blow his load before he even goes in. You're
right. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, he definitely would. So Grams just, like, comes outside and she's like, oopsie, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Like,
Grams, nothing's happening anyway.
What did she think was going on?
I don't know. She's hoping and praying that Jennifer has a nice boyfriend. But once again, like, she hated on Dawson in the first episode. He was like, he lets that Joey Creek girl go up on the ladder. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Also, I think it's so funny that, like, when you actually watch the scene, we don't see Grams until she literally has the screen door porch, like, screen porch door open. And she's like, oops, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. Like, bitch, if you would have just been quiet and closed the door, like, nobody would have seen you. And worth noting, Jen and Dawson are standing way closer together than Dawson and Joey were.
I mean, the sexual tension, the sexual, maybe Grams was just like hoping to get the goodbye from Dawson too.
Maybe. Oh yeah, she's probably like, you didn't say goodbye to me. So Jen watches Dawson, like, walk away after they have a last hug. But yeah, certainly Joey and Dawson's, like, goodbye felt way more awkward than, like, Jen and Dawson's, who just felt very natural. It felt very like a closeness. And I really have grown to love and appreciate the Jen and Dawson friendship. It feels like he needs her and she needs him as, like, counterparts to bounce things off of, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that they've done a lot of growing with each other and they can really appreciate each other for all the, you know, good and bad parts. So I like it as well. And I think that, so much has happened in the last 4 seasons. It's really crazy how far we've gone with these characters.
Yeah, it is. It's really wild. Like, season one, it was Dawson and Jen. It was the Dawson and Jen story, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so fascinating now to see them at season 4, like, saying goodbye. And yeah, I definitely agree with, like, the season 1 parallels, like, their sister episodes. It's really nice to see kind of how their friendship has grown. And yeah, of course, like, the last goodbye should be between Joey and Dawson, but I do like that the first last goodbye is between Dawson and Jen, you know?
Yeah.
So Dawson gets inside and instead of the T21, he sees a really, really fancy Mac laptop there.
Look at him, spoiled freaking brat. This is why Dawson's the way he is. He gets everything that he wants.
Yeah, and I love Mitch saying it's not practical, but it does look, it looks super cool.
It does, because it's a Mac.
Yeah. And Mitch says, like, I wasn't expecting to feel like this. Like, you're one of my favorite people. And so they hug.
It's okay, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like this is like, if somebody was like, you're one of my favorite people, and it was my dad, it'd be like, fucking A, like, why favorite. Am I not your favorite person?
Like, well, it's okay. Because he has Lily now.
Lily and Gail. So is Dawson now number three?
Probably. I don't know. I feel like he likes Dawson better than Gail sometimes.
Yeah, no? I mean, that's probably true for there was a while. Yeah, like, I would be like, Dad, like, why am I not your favorite person?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and so he's just like, okay, you know what? I have to, like, cover some more things. Don't have sex without a condom. And I'm like, wait, we've been here.
We already got this. I mean, first of all, he doesn't even have the opportunity at this point in time for any sort of thing anyway.
Yeah. And did you find what Dawson said about drugs funny like I did? Where he's like, I can't swear I'll never try some variety of narcotic, but I'll never get strung out and steal your TV. What?
Yeah, it's very specific. Like, weirdly specific. Yeah, like, I like Dawson is 100. Okay, well, he's going to LA and he's going to try coke.
Coke? I mean, first he has to try weed. Like, you can't jump from nothing to coke.
I suppose. Definitely weed. That's without a doubt. But I think that I think that's as far as Dawson will probably get.
100%. Even Dawson, like, smoking weed, I just feel like
I hope he gets that.
That would be fun. He'd be like smoking weed and be like, I have a great idea for a film. And it's just like gibberish.
Yeah. And then like laughing afterwards. Be like, mm-hmm. I can see that happening. If I had a prediction for the college years, I think we would see that.
Yeah. And then Mitch is just as, it's like everybody went in on this. Like Jack, Jen, Mitch, everybody's in on this to be like, so how was that goodbye to Joey? Huh? Huh?
Yeah, he wants the deets. And it was, he says, like a lot of things in life, it was not what I expected it to be.
Yeah, it was underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
And Mitch is just like, great. Well, I have followed the advice for you. Are you ready? This is the last piece of advice I'm going to give you. So listen up because it's really great. It ain't over till it's over. Dawson calls him out and he's just like, that's it?
Wow, that is some innovative advice. Thank you.
And he's like,
Mitch.
Oh, that's all I could think of. But really what he wants to say is like, listen, I've been taking care of your stupid newborn baby sister and I don't have any brain cells left in my head right now. So that's all you're going to get.
Babies are really exhausting. I can't handle it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm sure he's really tired. But yeah, he has really crappy advice that makes like no sense. It's like pretty stupid. And I love Dawson calling him out on it. I thought it was really funny. Then we're back at Graham's house where we get the trio we love, Jack, Jen, and Graham's.
These people spend so much fucking money on gas going back and forth for no reason around town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jack is just like, sorry, I'm back now. Like,
he's like, save your time.
I didn't want you two to be all alone here. And I'm just thinking of like Jack's dad, like alone.
In the big ass house.
Yeah, all by himself.
All by himself, mm-hmm. With his calculator.
Well, actually, you know what? Did Andy? Wait, where is Andy? Andy
went back
home.
To Italy.
That minute? I don't think we saw her leave, though.
I don't think.
Maybe she did.
We need to see her leave. I think. Maybe she did. I mean, Andy.
Otherwise, it's pretty shitty of them to not invite her to hang out with them.
No,
all.
Yeah. Andy would have been saying goodbye to Dawson as well. No.
Okay.
Andy left back to Italy. All Jack's dad has is him and his calculator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the calculator. He's too busy crunching numbers on that calculator.
He's just like, I gotta solve this discrepancy in my books.
He hasn't noticed Jack is gone because he's too busy.
He's also, he's like talking to Jack. He's like, you know what, Jack? He's like, my friend's son didn't even graduate college because he didn't have the right calculator.
We need to get you a calculator for college, Jack. Oh my god, can you imagine the back, like the college shopping that Jack had to do with his dad, and it was just calculators. He's like, you don't need twin bed sheets, Jack. We just need to get you a nice calculator so you can pass all your classes.
Like, do you want a pocket calculator? They're really handy.
Oh, wait, here's the latest. And he like opens up this like super fancy like box that has watches in it. But instead of a really nice watch, it has one of those like calculator watches.
A golden calculator. Oh, my God. But like his bed sheets are actually just calculators on them. Like that's the pattern. It's just calculator.
Imagine like Jack's dad's disappointment when he finds out his son is like not majoring in math or something.
Oh my God, disowned. He's again.
Like, but he's dad, like, I'm an art student.
I accepted you once, but I'm not going to forgive you for this one.
That's where he draws the line.
That's where he draws the line.
So we do get more reminiscing here where Jen says, every time I came here, or like when I first arrived here back in season one, I thought I was being punished. I thought mom was sending me away. She didn't love me. But Jen's like, but now I think about it and I think she really loved it here. She was always looking for an excuse to bring me here. And Graham says, yeah, but that was really sad for her because sometimes people spend their entire lives chasing the happiness they had in high school. And I'm like, that's fucking horrible.
Oh, my God. I just sent you from the cozy land calculation king size bed.
Oh,
sheets.
My God. Oh, these are so nerdy. It's like, I don't even know what happened. So they're like math symbols. There's like an equal sign, like division and multiplication and. Who, a percentage. King size bed? What child has a king size bed?
This is for fucking adults, Jessica Sterling.
What adult uses these shades?
Hold on. No, there's a twin option, but not a twin XL. Jack, you're just going to have to get the full, and then we're going to have to get them altered by the
Oh, the other one is like doodles with equations and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the internet has everything. If you want calculation bed sheets, you can get them.
Oh, my God. There is a set of like a comforter that has like the planets on it and all of them have little smiley faces on it and it says never stop dreaming. I hate everything.
Never stop calculating.
No, the one, oh my God, Sarah, the one that he wants is there's a one that it looks like a chalkboard and it has equations all over it and literally in the center of it just says math. It just says math. Why do you need to have the word math on there? Oh, in case anybody didn't know, this is fucking math.
What's those sheets called?
They're called calculation twin bed set.
I love it.
Yeah.
I found one that's called math formula bedding set. Mathematical theme comforter cover for kids, adults, and another. Yeah, but still no twin XL.
Wow.
Just
but what are they going to do for college?
They're going to have to get it altered.
Horrifying. This is ridiculous.
Oh, these sheets only have one star. The zipper broke in the set. It's unusable. This person says the title for this item is too long and confusing.
Oh, my God. I need to figure out how to send this link to you because there is a, hold on, I'm going to screen share. But maybe we'll tweet out the links or something after. But you need to see this. There is a bed sheet where there's a comforter. It's all black. It has a bunch of different colorful equations. And then it has the square root of 225 years old. It's apparently for a 15-year-old's birthday. You're going to give them bedding.
Specific.
Yeah, this is the most specific bedding I've ever seen in my life.
I've never gotten like, hi, this is like your 15-year-old's bed sheets, but they are.
And
like
it's 15. Specifically for a nerdy 15-year-old who likes math.
Oh, fuck. If I had a nerdy ass 15-year-old kid that likes math, just like send me down the river.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, so then, right. So Jack comes in and he's like, yeah, I wanted to be here. And Graham's calls him a sentimentalist. And apparently of all the things they packed up, they didn't pack up the cookie jar.
Wow.
There's still cookies in there.
Do you pack the cookie jar with the cookies?
No, you eat the cookies and then you pack the jar. Like, just think about the fact that there's a freaking stupid like cookie jar out from the packing boxes with a bunch of cookies in them. Maybe she's gonna give them to the movers.
Maybe. That's very kind. Always water and feed your movers.
Yeah, water and feed them like they're animals.
Like they're animals. Yeah, whenever I move, I always make sure they have like ice cream and
ice cream. You get yeah, ice cream.
It's hot. So I give them like ice cream and ice pops and shit. And wow. Water.
I've never had movers. So I don't know what that's like.
Well, I mean,
I've moved, but it's always been like a family affair, you know?
No, you're too old to ask your friends and family.
My God. There is 0% chance that I would ever move out of this house without proper moving company.
Yeah.
Because the first time it was like when I moved in here, it was like we had to grab crap from like 3 different locations. So it was like a whole to do. But now it's like, okay, moving from A to B and we're getting a moving truck. Anyway.
Yeah. Make sure you tip them too.
Will do. I have that in my little noggin for next time you move. So Grams isn't even sad. She's just like, it's exhilarating. We're leaving everything behind. We're going on a really great adventure.
To Boston.
And we find
a whole new city.
Yeah, baby. Good old hour away. So we find out from Grams that when her and Gramps were younger, that when they were married, he was in law school and they lived with his parents. She says, I wouldn't recommend that. You can't fuck without them hearing, young Jennifer.
I mean, and she did.
Oh, Grams fucks.
Yeah, she Grams did it anyway. Fucks. They just got yelled at all the time for it.
Yeah. And then they moved above his law office. It was an apartment. It was so hot. And so they'd go up on the roof and look at the stuff. And they would see that all the summer houses had these like Japanese lanterns and fancy dinner dances. And so they were like, well, we wanted to buy a summer house and live in it year round. And they ended up doing it, but they didn't even think about the cold in the winter, which is very funny.
I thought that was a cute little story. Like, I think that it's like sweet to hear like Grams's past.
Yeah. I really liked this. I think anytime we get to hear from like Grams, like we got to hear that story about that guy she fell in love with, right? And he went off to the war and died or whatever. Like I love hearing stories from Grams. So I was really happy to hear like how she came upon this house, like why she bought the house in the first place. Because this house, like as much as we talk all the characters, like the plot pieces in the show are like just as important as the characters, right? Like the creek itself and Grams's house and the Leary house. But Grams's house for me, I think, is like the most significant of the houses.
Yeah. I mean, I think like when I just think of Dawson's Creek and everything like that, I really do think of the creek itself. Like I think that that's the the head point. I feel like the Potter B&B is like really significant.
That's true too.
I think and Dawson's window
and Dawson's room itself, I think, is more important than the house, than like the Leary house. But like Grams's house for me is significant because it's like it was where like Jack went when he was having a rough time.
And,
you know,
her
like
porch. I think the
screen
porch.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the screen and porch. I think if we're picking spots from every house, I think. For Dawson's house, it's Dawson's bedroom. For Grams's house, it's the screen and porch. For the B&B, it's the like kitchen. It's the kitchen, but it's also the dock, like leading out to the water.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, I mean, it's the, like, didn't Pace? No, it was Dawson. Dawson built a white picket fence for that house.
I forgot about
and
that.
Then freaking Joey broke up with him.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, thank you for my new white picket fence, but please leave my property.
Yep. See you later. And then we're back with Dawson, and this is when Pacey calls him. And he says, and Dawson says, where are you? And he says, I'm in paradise. So specific.
Yeah, I mean, none of your business, Dawson. What are you gonna do? Track me?
Yeah.
Track me down. I really love this conversation between the two of them because I kind of think that it just breaks a lot of like the tension that's been going on with them for the last like 2 seasons, because ultimately this conversation was like, Dawson, like, I appreciate you and our friendship and for what we always had. And I wish I was able to give you a proper goodbye. And I love the fact that Dawson was like, hey, I don't tell you this and you don't hear this often, but I'm proud of you. And it just makes me think like Pacey really cares about what Dawson thinks of him. And it really, really hurts him when Dawson is so shitty to him, where he's like, oh, you know, you're the one that's supposed to fail, or you're, you know, a screw up, because like Dawson's literally said that. And the one thing that he really needs to say to Pacey is that, like, I'm proud of you. And like, I'm proud of the man that you're becoming, because I was wrong. I wish that he said that. Like, I wish he was like, I was wrong. You're not a screw up.
Yeah. I really, really loved this moment as well. And I, for a lot of the same reasons where like, you know, I mean, I've been watching a lot of things lately where like set in the time where your friends are your family. So I recently watched the movie Stand By Me, you know, which also reminded me of the movie The Sandlot. You know what I mean? Like there are times in your life when you're a kid where your friends are literally everything. Mm-hmm. They're your entire life. And Pacey and Dawson had that. That was the relationship they had. And obviously Dawson also had that with Joey, but that Pacey, Dawson was Pacey's person, you know? And so I really loved that. It wasn't that he regretted not saying goodbye to Joey, you know, because they had their moment where they kind of said what they needed to say, but it was more about the fact that everything that's happened, it doesn't matter. All the miles between us, that doesn't matter. I still think about when the way things were when we were kids. And yeah, Dawson saying he's proud of Pacey is huge. Like you said, like Pacey doesn't hear that often. He never hears that. And all he ever wants is for people to be proud of it. He wants his family to be proud. He wants his spouse or, you know, a partner to be proud. He wants his friends to be proud. And I really thought this was, again, this episode itself did not have a ton of Pacey for obvious reasons, right? He's not in town. Which again felt a little strange. It was like they wrapped up, it was almost like two finales where last episode wrapped up Pacey and this episode wrapped up Dawson.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And so I really appreciated kind of connecting those two separate finales in a way. I thought this was like a much, and I also think it makes sense that they have this conversation over the phone because it's so much easier than saying it in person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really did love it. Then we have Dawson who's like trying to pack. But he immediately is about to like go out to his boat.
Of course.
Yeah, because he needs to go see Joey. But who does he run into but the running Wonder Woman herself, Joey?
Of course. I knew it. Yep. And I like this little interaction between them because they're just like, yeah, like what was your excuse going to be? Like Dawson. Yeah. Like, yeah, I was gonna like play up the fact that I haven't said goodbye to Bessie and Bodhi.
Yeah. And might I just note, Joey's hands still in her pockets. I think they're glued in there at this point. Like, girl needs to get her hands out of her pocket.
I know. She's not, you know how there's like people who very specifically talk with their hands? Not Joey.
Nope. Her hands have to be in her pockets when she talks. And so they go up to his room and they're watching E.T. again, very much like the season one, episode one. And Joey's crying. She says, it's still my favorite movie. So he decides he's going to start packing. So he pulls up a suitcase, which I was like, gosh, I thought, well, I guess he's going to California, so maybe he can only bring a suitcase. But I'm like, for college, I remember it being like boxes and boxes, you know?
Oh, yeah. Maybe. Okay. So maybe he's planning on buying all of his necessities, like toiletries and comforters and all this jazz over in California, because it's expensive to ship things across country.
That's true. Maybe that's the plan. Then they talk about like, oh, the next time they're going to see each other is Christmas. And Joey says, oh, by then you're going to be married to the first bimbo who slips you a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn. And then Dawson says, you're going to be shacked up with the first guy who offers you a hit off his beer bottle. And I'm like, do you two know each other at all?
Yeah, they're just going to be lamenting the times when they were together. We know that. So, yeah. I think that it's a funny conversation. And then they get into the whole thing about Dawson's like, how did I become the only virgin in the group?
Yes. This is so funny to me. That they're like, they're, cause she's like, oh, well, your new girlfriend's a real prude. So she's not going to put out either. And this is really funny. And because they start playing the game, like you said, of like, oh, your all time favorite song, whatever. And Joey's of course is Daydream Believer, which sure.
As it's playing on repeat in the background.
Over and over this episode. And Joey asks the most embarrassing moment. And he says, when the school watched me make out with Eve.
Wow, look at that. They remembered Eve. How
the thing
cool.
is that doesn't really make sense to me, right? Because Why? Yeah, the whole school caught him making out. Does he not remember when he crashed the boat because Eve was giving him a BJ? How is that more embarrassing?
Well, that wasn't in front of everybody.
It was in front of some people.
Yeah, it wasn't in front of like the entire school though. And Joey says, well, actually that gave you some street cred.
Yeah, that was really funny to me. That line, yeah. Street cred.
Like, yeah, he was like, you're actually popular now because of that. So good job.
Yeah. And so her most embarrassing moment is when she stood in front of him offering sex and he turned her down cold. And he said, and this is when I was like, all right, like the two of them always do this where they talk in circles and they use this like coded language with each other because he says, oh, that's going to be my hugest all-time regret. And I'm just like, oh my God, like just say it, Dawson. Just say, let's fuck. Like, come on.
Well, yeah, that's kind of like how I was feeling. I was just like, all right, come on, let's speed this along. Like,
we don't have time. Let's have sex already.
We have 9 more minutes. Like, let's come on, let's like get through this. Yeah. But yeah, it's like it's a lot of self-referential talking about the past. I do love the continuity and the context between all of it. So I thought that. I mean, it was also interesting that Dawson is like, you know, like what happened? Like, why did I like, you know, become an 18-year-old virgin? Like, I didn't think that this was going to happen. And yeah, it's just Joey and Dawson doing Joey and Dawson things.
Yeah. They talk about most life altering moment. And Joey says it's so stupid. It's not when she meets, I don't know, the guy she was dating for the past couple of years. It has nothing to do with that. It's when Dawson kissed her in the room. Like, it's so.
I mean, I think that it's very specific. Like, he's the one that's asking the question. So that's how she's going to answer. But also, it kind of is when, I mean, we can only assume everything changed because that's kind of the beginning of Dawson's Creek, like how we saw it. But she wouldn't be where she is at this very moment without that moment. So I guess it is life altering.
Although I would argue that it's when Jen came to the creek.
that is probably when everything changed. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so she points to the Turn Away My Sweet poster, which again very much connects them as well.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I have to pack this. I forgot.
Yeah. And so Joey says, I want you to stay. I want you to stay. And there it is. I said it. And he's like, you couldn't have said something before I packed. And she's just like, well, no, because I said it and now you have to forget it. And he's like, what?
Well, actually, you barely packed, so it's not that bad.
Yeah. And she's just like, listen, it's not me. I can't just say, I can't be the strong, silent type and let you, you know, do all that. People would be impressed by my memory, but I can't do it. My best friend is leaving tomorrow and a big part of me wants him to stay. And so I hope you don't hate me. And Dawson says, I could never hate you, not for lack of trying. And it's just, again, this episode is just riddled with self-referential moments of like, oh, remember when Dawson tried to hate Joey and he couldn't? Like,
yeah. Yeah. It does. It really does feel like some sort of a finale. It does.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she says it's this whole year. It's the past couple of years. They've been such a big soap opera, which is also very funny. And she says, I like the way things are now. But life is a really cruel joke and things are so nice. And now you're leaving. And he says, listen, if I thought for a second it was the right thing to do, I would stay, but I have to go. It's time for me to go. It's time for me to get out of this room. You have to discover who you are without us. This chapter is over.
Good for Dawson.
Yeah.
Standing his ground, realizing that he has a future in front of him, and that there's important things for that he has to do, and that's like grow without Joey, and the same for Joey. She has to grow without him. But you know, this is a very intimate moment. They're sharing all these like vulnerable feelings towards one another. So they just happen to stand and be really close to each other. And the sexual tension is just building and building.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like crying. She asks if he believes in magic and she kind of goes through her whole life story of like, these are the reasons I don't, right? Like my mom died. I hoped for something to make her better. It didn't. I hoped for my father to like overcome his flaws. That didn't work. And then there was Pacey and all that magic, it ran out, didn't it? And then there's you. There's proof that someone out there is thinking of me, my friend who is with me always. It's pure magic. And she says, I guess this is my long-winded way of saying I'm going to miss you. And he says, I'm going to miss you too. And they're kind of like, they're sitting actually very similarly to how they sat when she came on to him and said, like,
yeah,
what is it? Am I sexual to you, Dawson? Is that what it was? I can't remember what it was.
It's like, I can be sexual.
I can be sexual, Dawson. Oh, they're kind of sitting very similar, like, spots to that moment. Mm-hmm. Cause she's sitting on his bed. I might be opposites. She's sitting on his bed and he's kind of sitting across from her and she's crying. And he says, of course he says, I'm going to miss you too. So she's just like, well, I guess I need to leave. Like, it's really late. And, you know, so she starts putting on her jacket and everything. And she's just like, oh, man, I wish my ladder was still out there. Make a classy exit.
Yui, give me back my ladder.
And Dawson says, oh, yeah, it would be cinematic. And so Dawson says, I guess this is really it. And so they say, see you. And they hug. And they back up, but they're still kind of like holding on to each other. And she asks what yours was, your most life-altering moment. And he says, for all I know, it could be this one right now, saying goodbye to you. And so they're looking at each other. And this, okay, I could write a whole fucking dissertation on just this one moment. Because the fucking way that they shoot this scene, if you haven't rewatched it, I highly recommend you do because it'll give you a good laugh. Where, like, they're standing super close to each other. And then as they, like, lean in to kiss, the like scene fades and zooms in on them and then it fades and it zooms in on them again.
It's very like late 90s, early 2000s cinematography.
It is. It is. And so they lean in and it's so funny. The fade ins kill me. And they kind of like touch foreheads and noses first. And so then they have this like big, like it's the most dramatic slow motion kiss I've like ever seen in my life.
Yeah. So if you think about it, the direction is probably ridiculous because the actors have to be at that pacing and probably slower. And it's much slower what feels natural. So it must feel in that spot as an actor insane what you're doing. But yeah. And I was just like looking at the clock and I was like, frick, we have 2 minutes. Like, speed it along.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy because, like, so then they kiss twice, right? And then we get the same, like you mentioned, that shot from outside the house that's zoomed in and we just see their silhouettes. But that is also slow motion. It's like panning away from it in like the slowest motion as well. And yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Dirty, 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 dirty move. I was like, come on. Like,
well, yeah. And so your prediction last episode was, because I said, because we talked about last episode, like last episode felt like a finale. And so right. I asked you, like, okay, well, what do you think they're going to do for this episode? Because if last episode was a finale, what's going to happen this one? And you were like, Joey and Dawson are going to have sex. That was your prediction.
Yeah.
Very close, but no cigar. They kissed.
Well,
they
had a very meaningful kiss. We don't know. We don't know what happened.
That's fair. If they had sex, we didn't see it, I should say. That's true. Correct. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm going to assume, like, I mean, I thought that the kiss was inevitable. Like, I probably didn't see that, but.
No, I believe that.
I don't know. Like, there's definitely, they needed that connection. Like, Dawson needs to get back to Boston. And the only thing that's going to bring him back to Boston is Joey. He's going to go off to California. It's going to be a mind fuck. Like, even if he just kisses her and there is no sex, that's going to send him in a spiral as well. If it's sex and they had sex, I mean, it's done. Like, it's like, you know, but it's like, are we going to see Dawson go off to college as a virgin and be a virgin in college? I'm going to say the probability is pretty high that they have sex because, once again, like, how is he going to get back to the East Coast? Yeah. And he, at the core of it, Dawson is a romantic and he's going to see this as destiny. Like, I am destined to be with Joey and I have to get back to her. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks for Dawson being like this filmmaker who really has been aiming to go to California for his, you know, teenage life to be pulled back to the East Coast because of love. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So fascinating. So your predictions are, okay. So I guess my question to you is, how are we starting the premiere of season five? Predictions. Like, are we starting with them in summer? Are we starting with them in college?
Like, I think that it's going to, we're going to open up and we're going to see like Joey on campus. I mean, it's going to be like all college-y, and then we're going to like switch over and it's going to be Dawson, who's already been there for a few months. And I think it's going to be like, I'm struggling. Like, I want to be back towards Joey. I want to be back home. Like, this is, California is not what I thought it would be. Not what I thought it would be. The smog is like really, really bad. It's really expensive. Vegan food sucks. Like, I think that we're going to meet Dawson. He's going to be struggling. Jen and Jack and Grams are going to be like bopping in their apartment, living the good life. Like, I think we're going to have a skip forward to the beginning of their freshman semester year.
Interesting. Okay. But yeah, that was our episode. Again, like, I didn't mind it. Like, the finale, or excuse me, the penultimate really felt more finale-y to me, but this was kind of like the fan service-y version. It almost was like they did two finales and they're like, let's do one and then let's do the fan service-y one that kind of
gets the Dawson
people happy. Yeah.
Yeah. How would you feel, say, if Dawson's Creek did get canceled and this was the series finale? Would you feel fulfilled? Because if you think about it, like, Pacey's gone off and he's working on himself. He got the satisfaction from Dawson that he's like a good person.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jen and Jack and Grams are going to go and they're going to like live their good life. And Jen's like in a really good headspace. And then the thing would be is that Dawson and Joey were endgame and they have a kiss. And then we're left to believe like, oh, they were destined to be together.
Yeah, I agree. I think this makes for a very good series finale if it was one. I think it kind of wraps everything up as neatly as maybe it is. I think the only thing it's missing is like it kind of leaves a little bit of a lingering question of like what's going to happen with Dawson and Joey. Like, it kind of, it almost feels like it'd be better if we saw them kiss and then move on, if that makes sense, because I don't like to live in a world where like, oh, now they're hung up on each other for all the years of college, you know what I mean? Like, it kind of feels like a kiss farewell makes more sense if they're ending the series here.
Yeah. Or is it that, you know, the viewers to assume that they were, that like the kiss means that they're together,
right? Which to me, it's like, well, who wants a long distance relationship in
that's
college?
That's true. Like, yeah. Cross-country. I'm just trying to think of like, what are our lingering questions after this? And does it have to do with like, is Dawson and Joey together now? And what does that make of it? Like, what's going to happen with Pacey after his summer abroad sailing away? Like, is there anything between Pacey and Joey anymore? Where's Yui? He wasn't in this episode at all.
I know, that's so funny that we had like Yui play such an important role in like last episode and then he's nowhere to be found.
Right. One. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, like, if it got canceled, like, would I'm sure the fans would revolt.
No, but I do think this makes for a pretty good series finale.
If it had to be, but luckily we have two more seasons.
We do. Hooray for us. We're so blessed. Two more full seasons.
Yeah.
But we do have a voicemail from Temi that I would like to play for us here. Love getting feedback. If you want to send in feedback, at @shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, and also send us in a voicemail, shit90spod.com. We love to hear him. Let's hear from Temi. What does Temi have to say?
Hi, ladies. Remember when Abby had the binoculars and she was spying on Vincent and Jen from Dawson's room? Imagine Gretchen and Pacey at Jen's house at the end of the episode. Gretchen, you see that shit? I mean, the guy talked about Joey every day. I feel so betrayed. Pacey, I can't even. I don't think Dawson's ever looked so handsome before. He just looks great. He's so cool. And, you know, he's cynical, but in a funny way. I think he is peak Dawson. Jennifer? I think the scene with Jennifer and Jack and Grams was a nice capstone to the fact that they lived together before. And will they live together again? So that's a question you guys have had. There's been a lot of denial resolution in this episode by Mitch and Dawson. It feels like some of that was just a set piece to have them reconcile at the end, which is a common refrain in the show. There's so much subtext and meta referencing. I really like that. And it won't be Dawson's room in the cold opens next season, just like I referred to. What will the living arrangements be with some people? Where do you think the cold opens will start next season? And then we still have to remember the question of who is the one character who's in every episode? And those Hawaiian shirts we see, they really suit Pacey. Thanks.
The Hawaiian shirts. They really do. Nobody can wear them like him. I loved
Atemi's Jennifer. That was Jennifer.
That was very good, Tammy. So we talked a little bit about what I think the cold opens are going to be like next. I think we're going to start in college already.
Yeah, I think a dorm room open makes sense to me. So you had said you thought Joey's dorm room, or did you think Dawson's dorm room?
I think we're going to open up, and I mean, it is Dawson's Creek.
I was just thinking it's always Dawson's room, so I feel like it's more likely to be Dawson's dorm room.
Yeah. I just think that it makes sense, like pulling up, you're at campus type of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is Dawson's Creek. Ultimately, like, Dawson's the main character. I do think that Dawson's probably the character that's in every single episode. If not Joey, I mean, both of them, really. That was a question that Tammy asked. Like,
oh, no. Yeah. What do you think of what Tammy said about Gretchen and
Basically? Oh, that's so funny. I loved when Abby had her stinking little binoculars and was so watching. Good. And I could see that. I can see that Pacey and Gretchen, once again, the validation that they were right the whole time. Like, they're not, they weren't off base by saying that Joey and Dawson were still in love with each other, and watching it with binoculars and shit talking would be like so funny. But thankfully Gretchen is far away from the creek creeps and is probably living her best life.
Yeah. No, I think that's funny. I think I love the imagery of that, but I'm really excited to get to our next season. Like I said, I love a finale and I love a premiere. But first, before we do that, of course, we have to do our regular season wrap-up podcast that we have. We talk through our faves, our not-so-faves. We rank the characters, best in our favorites and least favorite episodes. And we could talk about where this falls overall in terms of our favorite seasons of Dawson's Creek.
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm really excited for all of that. Like we said before, if you want to send in feedback, please do. If you want to send in like your overall season thoughts, definitely do at shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can email us shit90spod@gmail.com. Also on our website, send in a voicemail if you want to, shit90spod.com. But that's what we'll be back with next week. Sarah, what are you finishing up? Your League of Their Own. Are you almost done with that? I think it's almost done, right?
Yeah. We've recorded all the episodes and we are about to release the 8th and final episode of the League of Their Own on post-show recaps. That was a lot of fun. Later on this week, I'm going to be going on to our friend Cody Patterson's America's Got Talent podcast. Fun. So AGT time. So that will be a lot of fun talking about people's talents. And then aside from that, you know, we are done with our season 6 coverage of Boy Meets World. We're going on to our final season, which is uber exciting. Yeah. And for August, we have a couple of really fun movies planned. So stay tuned for that. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. You can find us at Shit90sPod on Twitter and Instagram, www.shit90sPod.com.
As for me, of course, you can always hear me talking about community over on Community Building with Josh Wiggler on Post Your Recaps. I am beyond what I'm doing here. I'm taking a little bit of a break. I don't have too many podcasts going on, but there might be something in the works for a couple weeks from now. So keep an eye on those podcast feeds. Keep an eye on my Twitter at TheJustSterling. I'll for sure be tweeting about it. But yeah, I think that's all we have. So we'll be back next week with our season wrap up. To cover season 4 of Dawson's Creek. Unbelievable. I really truly cannot believe we're through 4 seasons of this show. We are way over halfway through at this point. We have 2 more seasons to go. Can't wait. Talk to you all next time. Have a good one, everybody. Bye. Just ask.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.